Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Barb's handing out the class notes if you need one. And so as she's doing that, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity that we get to just stop and think about ministering to your children. May you bless it. May you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this workshop is on responding to God through his word. There's a lot of ways that we respond to God. There's a lot of ways that we will read the word. But I want to take and look at a specific way that I believe that we can take and train the children, train ourselves in being able to respond to the Lord. And we will move through all of that and what that all means in this workshop. The idea is we need to think differently. Differently than what? Well, I have another workshop that oftentimes I don't have the time to share, but it's how we learn, ways we think. And in doing that, it kind of explains why we may need to think a little bit different, because we've all been trained to think a certain way to think. It may sound funny. We often think about, you know, and talk about what we believe and what we think, but we don't talk about or can communicate how we think. What brought us to the place of being thinking that way? There's two forms that we typically talk about: the Hebrew way of thinking, the Greek way of thinking. Our education system is based on the Greek way of thinking. And it's based on memorizing repeatable facts. Okay? And I don't have time to do that workshop, but by the time I'm done, people go, oh, wow, that's why I think that way. Oh, and that's why people can kind of control people. Oh, just get them to memorize certain facts, and they think that's what it's about, and they don't even have to think. They just will repeat what I've trained them to say. And so we have to sometimes rethink that process that we've been trained in. And because the Word of God is something quite different. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it's living. It's active. It's powerful. This is not a textbook. You can go to a Bible college and it still shouldn't be a textbook. It's the living word. It's the word of God. We call it the Bible, the word of God. Something totally different than any textbook we would read. Any magazine that we would read. Any literature that we would read. This is different. But we tend to read it not different. We tend to read it like we would read anything else. Why? Because we've been trained to read it that way. It's not unusual. And that's what's going on. And so I want you to rethink some of this with me. This is God's message to you, to me. It's his message. It's what he wants us to know. It just came to my mind. I think, I don't know if I'm supposed to read this or not, but I'm going to sure look. Chronicles chapter 13, and it was David, he was bringing back the ark, bringing it back to Israel, and they were carrying the ark on a new cart. And it's a story, I don't know if you remember, where the cart hit a dip. Okay, this is, well, maybe there too, but this is in Chronicles. He does repeat that there, so yeah. 1 Chronicles 13, and so verse 7, the ark is on this new cart, because that's where we carry everything on, right? A cart, I mean, we do today even. Semis, it's a flatbed, it's got wheels, axle, a cart. Everything is carried somewhere on a cart. That's kind of key here. Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark back, and he was struck dead. And it goes on to say that David was like, whoa. He was afraid at this point. He was angry and afraid. And then David said, how can I bring the ark of God to me. He thought he was doing a good thing, bringing the ark back to Israel. And now one of the guys gets fried for doing the right thing in the wrong way. Because back in Exodus, David's question was answered. This is how you do the ark. This is how you cover it up. This is how you put rings on the side, gold rings that you can put rods through, and you can carry it in all these overlays so you can't see it. There's a real important thing here. We need to do it the way God says to do it. And where does he say to do it? In this precious book that we call the Word of God. And if we don't do it his way, people die. You go, well, that's not fair. Why? God said, if you do it wrongly, this is what's going to happen. If you do it the way I tell you to do it, this is what's going to happen. There'll be life. So we've got to realize that the Word of God is something quite different than any book we ever read. It's different than any other religious books. There's a lot of religious books. It stands for reason, because the majority of people that Satan will be sending to hell will be based on religion. Religion. We don't want to teach the kids, because we can teach the kids religiously the Word of God. We want to teach the kids the Word of God is alive and active. That there's a message for them. That God wants them to know that they can live life through. God wants to speak to us. So we need to learn how to read the Bible as a spiritual activity. And I believe we meet God through the Word if we're reading it in a spiritual manner. Not as how we've been trained to read, but how we need to read the Word of God. My last workshop was quickly gone through alone time with God, prayer, praying to God. The two major elements that God uses for us to communicate with Him and Him with us is prayer and reading the Word. I believe that the majority of the time that we are training the children, we need to be training them how to read God's Word and how to pray. That's what a personal up-close relationship is. A personal up-close relationship doesn't necessitate going to church or going to sit on a bus or going to sit anywhere that the Word of God is spoken of. It's being in communion with God through His Word. Maybe in those places. Doesn't necessarily mean it will be in those places. I know churches, they teach the Word of God, but they teach it in a manner that's more textbook-oriented. Facts, information, memorization, and we've done our job. Well, none of that's wrong in and of itself. But if we aren't training them how to meet with God, how to respond to God through His Word, then maybe we're going to be hindering them a little bit in what's going on. I think the question we all have to ask ourselves is, do we believe that we can meet with God through His Word in a personal way? Because if we don't, as teachers and trainers of children, we aren't going to share that with them. If we ourselves don't think that I can pick up the Word of God and God can talk to me, little old me, personally me, then why am I going to tell anybody else that? So when I teach to the adult who teaches to the child. So this is what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you about the what, and then I'm going to talk to you about the how. How do we do that? We don't want to be teaching the kids how to read the Bible in an intellectual manner. Although it has the avenue of intellect, we have to use our mind to do that. We don't want to teach the kids that it's just about information. It's about that, but it's much more than that. They need to understand that there's a spiritual dynamic that goes on when we open up the Bible. when we've hid the word of God in our heart, then we may not sin against him. There's a spiritual dynamic that is happening. So first, when we are involved with using and reading the Bible, we must take it seriously because it's a spiritual dynamic. Who do we then go to first and foremost before we even open it up? Amen. To God. We ask God for insight. You know, we talk about, yeah, pray first. Man, it's all about him opening up our eyes to know. You know, the disciples weren't like what they call the college grads. And yet when the Pharisees, who were the college grads, saw them, they went, "Ooh, man, they're learned. How'd they get that information?" And somebody was wise. "Oh, those guys, they're the guys that walk with Jesus. It's not about a college. It's not about a church. It's about, do we walk with Jesus? Are we teaching the kids to walk with Jesus?" That's what it's about. You can walk with Jesus at a church. You can walk with Jesus at a school. But it's the walking with Jesus. It's the responding to what God has said. And it's so simple. So simple. You don't have to get these major college degrees to be able to walk with Jesus, to respond to God, and then have somebody go, "Whoa, where'd you get your education? Where'd you get your brains? Where'd you get that information?" I said, "Oh, God spoke to me. God told me." And when a child gets a hold of that and understands that it's not just for the adult, it's for all of us who take the name of Jesus, that are called followers of Jesus Christ, that are disciples of Christ, that follow him, they can be spoken to also. Secondly, you read the Bible and you simply pray back what you read. You just pray back that verse. We're going to talk about it. We're going to go through how that looks, what that looks like. You just pray back what God has said. So that's the second thing. And I find, too, for me, I'm an external processor. And what I mean by that is when I talk out loud, I kind of connect a little bit better than if I'm just kind of, if I try to do it in my mind. Like if I try to have my quiet time, it's like for long, you know, I got to be talking. I got to talk to the Lord. It's the way I am. And then the next important thing to remember is that open rebellion against God will hinder communication with God. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It's going to be important when we're talking to kids. Look, if you aren't hearing, you need to get right with God right now, this very second. Take it to him. Kids know what they've done. They need to understand. You know, some kids don't even know what sin is. A lot of kids don't know what sin is anymore because everything's taught relatively. There's no good or wrong, bad. So that's another part of what our process is as educators of children, to teach them. You know, God says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Your teacher is a sin, you're a sinner. But he's given us a way out. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. Since God knows everything, he knows you're a sinner, you might as well just own up. Let him know that you know and that you agree with him. So we got these three elements. We need to pray. Ask the Lord to speak to our hearts by way of his Holy Spirit. We need to read and then pray back what we read. And we need to make sure that things are okay with him and us. So let's take a look now at how this process works. Barb, would you come up here for a second? I'm going to... have not been walking for a while. It's kind of like a miracle God allowed me to be here today, and I'm kind of thrilled to be here. Literally, it's been weeks, and I've been homebound, and almost fell out of the car in the parking lot even this morning. I just keep forgetting, you know, he's giving me the strength to do what I'm doing right now, but I don't have the strength in my left leg, and it was like, whoop, almost went out. But so she's going to do what I normally would do and walk around to do this illustration to explain to you what I'm going to try to teach you to teach the kids to do. But before you go around and do that, what I would normally do is I would walk around in a class, on the bus, wherever, and I would start talking to the kids with the Bible open in front of my face, trying to get them, and I would get them to the place that just kind of look at me like I'm weird, like, what's wrong with this guy? To get them to understand that my voice is projecting the words out of what's in the book. So I just want them to get that kind of idea that this is God's way, we call it the Word of God, of speaking out. Okay, I don't know why he chose this way, but he chose this way, and he uses words, and he speaks them out to us. And so I want the kids to understand that. But then I want to explain to them, and this is just kind of like hypothetically speaking, that this really didn't happen, kids, because they may not know what hypothetical means. But I want to play role this. I want to act this out as if this is what would have taken place if I was born without the ability to talk. So I would walk around with my book, and I would write questions out. And so Barb's going to walk around, and I have written some questions in there at the front of it. Beyond that page, you'll see some of them. I also teach this sometimes to Spanish speakers, so at the same time you're going to see a bilingual part on here. And just keep going. There's more. It's kind of just the way it is. And so you can use that and just walk up. Okay, so this is me, but she's doing it, walking up because I can't talk, even though I get to talk now through this. This is cool. I like this. So she's going to walk up to, because she can't talk. Just show what you wrote. Okay, she's going to go around to different people and just show the same thing maybe or different things. I know, it's kind of weird. It's weird when I do it. You see, this is the only way that she was able to communicate. Her mom and dad didn't want to teach her Braille. They just gave her a pen and a pad, and she had to write the questions down. Well, yeah. You can't talk. Okay, thanks. All right. Thank you. The deal here is, and this is the part that's kind of important. Almost forgot. Because, and I'm going to get back into I wasn't able to speak and I had to go around. This book became known as, okay, these are mine. These are my words. Kids get that. They understand that. These are God's words. And God wrote something here for us to respond to. Every single one of you. I've gone up to different people and they just kind of look at it. They aren't sure what they're supposed to do because I don't give them information on what they are to do. And then I move to somebody else and they kind of look. Move to somebody else and they go, oh, hi, hi. You see, sometimes we'll read the Bible. We'll read it, but we don't respond. God is speaking, but we aren't responding. Because we're thinking academically. We're thinking, I need to get this information into my mind. He says we will hide it in our heart, not mind. You know how many kids can respond when they're trained to respond to what God has said? Most of them, if not all. And now what happens is the Word of God becomes alive. And I cannot teach you, explain how it happens other than the Spirit of the living God is making it alive in their hearts, making it afresh in their hearts. And now they're talking to God, not to the teacher, not to whoever. They're talking to God. We respond to God through His Word. And when we're doing this, we need to teach the kids and understand and train them in the fact that they need to remember that meeting with God, when we're responding to God, there's some aspects. It's the God who knows all. The kids need to know that God knows all when they're responding to Him. They don't need to tell Him everything. He knows everything. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And in the last class, we talked about these attributes of God and how fun it is just to teach the kids, you know, omnipresent. You know, they walk out of class, God's omnipresent, omnipresent. You know, they like that. It means that God is everywhere. God is eternal. He's always existed. And they're going to have the questions you can't answer. And just tell them, I don't know. When you figure it out, let me know. You know, the God who knows all. So when you're responding to Him, you want to respond to Him personally and correctly. But there's the responding has to take place. We have to respond personally and correctly. Dr. Richard A. Bennett, a very close friend who has just recently gone to be with the Lord, just a couple weeks ago, wrote some books. We had gone out and done some teaching together on, he would teach the adults how to respond to God, and I would teach the teachers that were there how to teach the kids how to respond to God through His Word. And I want to read in one of his books, Food for Faith, page 24, what he said, and he called it Together Time. Together Time is really a two-way conversation with our living Lord. Through His Word, the Bible, God speaks to His children. As we respond correctly and personally to what God is saying, we will learn how to pray biblically and with expectant faith. Dr. Bennett goes on to say, when I speak about praying biblically, I mean that we are actually using the very words of the Scriptures we are reading when we respond to God as we pray. So responding means to send back. You walk into a room and you say hi. If somebody responds, they're going to send back hi. That's all it means. You're going to send back something towards someone who said something to you. Personally, it means you do it in a personal way. Oftentimes, when we're starting to learn how to do this, we will use impersonal. We won't use personal pronouns when we're doing this. Well, Lord, help us to do this instead of help me. And so that will be the biggest breakthrough that you'll have when you're training the kids. And so after they're done, you go, well, that's good, but you weren't praying for our whole class. I want you just to pray for you. So instead of forgive us our sin, let's pray forgive me my sins. Okay? I have come to worship you. Not we have come to worship you. Create in me a clean heart, not create in us a clean heart. So we want to personalize it in the training process. You can take one verse and teach the kids how to respond to His Word. and they'll learn over time. And as they learn how to do the responding, it's going to be wonderful, because when they're reading the word, whether it's in class, whether it's on the bus, whether wherever it's at home, they now have the skill to talk with God. To talk with God. And they now have the privilege of having other people say, "You're crazy. You can't talk to God." And they can smile and say, "Oh, yeah, I can. I do. And he talks to me. He said a lot to me. And I'm just starting to learn all the things that he said to me. Because this is his love story to me." What a wonderful skill to be training the children in. How important it is. All right, how long do we have? Okay. You know, I started the other workshop with sharing. I've been doing some reading on habits and making habits and how habits are created and how important habits are, and how a lot of our choices, our decisions in life in a given day aren't based on our choice. They're based on our habits that were created. And they're telling us that over 40% of what our choices are our habits. We aren't even choosing. And I shared with the idea behind to sow an act is to reap a tendency. To sow a tendency is to reap a habit. To sow a habit is to reap a character. And to sow a character is to reap a destiny. In our words, in God's words, aren't habit, but they are sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. Sow to the flesh, you're going to reap a corruption. Sow to the spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. And our task is to get to the children as soon as possible to create good habits, because the mind doesn't know the difference between good or bad habits. They're just habits. And so what a wonderful skill to teach the children the habit of speaking and hearing from God, responding to the Lord. How important that is. So in the idea of responding to God personally and then correctly, the idea behind correctly is that we want not to change the meaning of what the verse says. So when we're responding personally, that's I, that's me, not we, not them. And correctly means that I am responding back to what God said. So now that does make the study of the word important, that we rightfully divide the word, but somehow we've lost the idea behind why is it so important to rightfully divide the word so that I can respond correctly to God, so that I know what God is saying. And so then I can be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and tell others what God has said. So that's why we want to know and rightfully divide the word of God. When we do this, God will incline our heart to something that he wants us to understand. As we read it, he's going to speak to us, and he is God. You know, it's just marvelous to think that in the same book we call the Bible, you can read the same verse and God can speak to you a whole different way than he speaks to me. And vice versa, back and forth. We serve a great God. He knows all. He knows our every need. He doesn't want you just to read the Bible so that you can say, "Yeah, I read this chapter today." He wants you to read that chapter today so that you can say, "Yeah, I met with Jesus today. Oh, what God said to my heart today. It's fresh. It's new. It's exciting." It's a wonderful skill to teach. So looking at Proverbs 3, some of you have put this to memory, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How would you respond? Do I have that written out, how you might respond? Is that on my workshop?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lord, help me to trust and depend on you more and not to think I have to have all the answers. That'd be the first part, and trusting the Lord with all your heart. You're just saying, oh, yeah, yeah. Lord, help me to do that. And then the second part, help me to talk to you about everything in my life. I want to acknowledge you about everything. I'm just praying back his words into my life, my vocabulary, how I would respond, but personally to him, because these are his personal words to us. And then the last part, and he shall direct your path. Thank you, God, that you're going to show me the right way to go and the right thing to do. And that's the most biblical prayer you can have, praying back his God's words. It's a wonderful, wonderful part of the relationship with God. Barb, I'm going to ask you to help me with this again, because I want to show you, kind of example-wise, an incorrect way you can just stand up and get in the middle of the aisle so people can hear our conversation. And so I'm going to ask her some questions, and she's going to respond to me, and you'll identify what's going on here. So quite a bit of rain today driving in here, wasn't there? Well, I'm looking forward to lunchtime. How about you?
I read the neatest verse in my Bible.
How'd your workshop go?
My friend Jody up in Idaho said it was snowing.
Looking forward to the long drive home? Thanks, yeah. Okay. Have a seat. You see, sometimes when we are praying back God's word, we change what he said. And what does that look like? A brick short?
Is that where the Holy Spirit comes in? That's what we're really trying to think.
You see, we don't want to change what God said. And sometimes a child will mistakenly do that because they don't know what that means. And so that's why it's important for us to be teaching them what it means. But then go on to then, well, now that we know what God meant, what are we going to say? What do you want to tell them? And just a tiny little telling, just a tiny. And as time goes on, I tell you what, the classes I've seen do this, alive. And the lives come alive. That 9-year-old comes alive because he or she now are walking with Jesus. Really, really walking with Jesus. Really, really experiencing a personal up-close relationship with Jesus. You see, in church, there are many good things that we can talk about. Whenever we open up the Bible, there are tons. The Bible has got more than we can even express in our lifetime of good things. But Jesus told us that we need to make disciples. And the question we have to ask is, what kind of disciples are we making? Because disciples will be made. The school system makes disciples. What kind of disciples are being made? There's different religions that make disciples. What kind of disciples are being made? Christians are making disciples, but are they making disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, or followers of their church? We want to make disciples of Jesus. We want to teach the kids what it is to follow Jesus. And then they'll be at a church, hopefully, that's following Jesus. And they'll experience the fellowship with one another and with the Lord. But we've kind of got a blurry picture of what it is to make disciples of. And we need to make disciples that are in a relationship with God. I think it was the last workshop I shared. Barb and I, before we had our own children, we were going to a church on the edge of Santa Ana. And we would leave there all the time going, man, that guy, speaking of the pastor, he knows God. We couldn't refute it. It was like, he knows Jesus. He's not just telling us words from the Bible. He knows him. Because we had sat under different people, and sometimes we weren't sure if they knew who they were talking about. And that man became our pastor, and I worked for many years, Pastor Chuck Smith. He knew God. You know what? When your students listen to you and you open up your mouth, they're going to know whether you know God or you're telling them some words. And if you know God, then they're going to go, they can lead me to know God. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to lead children to know God, to experience God. Our kids are leaving in mass from the church. And I'm afraid maybe sometimes the church has not brought relationship. I can't be judgmental of it because people have their own choices to do whatever they want. But sometimes I wonder, are we giving them the personal, up-close relationship with Jesus, responding to God through his word, praying to God, or rules about God? Now, when I'm fellowshipping with God and I'm reading the Ten Commandments, I'm not going to put them down because they're rules, especially when God is speaking to my heart saying, hey, you're to honor your father and mother, which I get the privilege of sharing next workshop. I love it. You're to honor your father and mother. And as the Spirit of God is speaking to me, he may go, there's an area that's not so honoring. Are we bringing them to that relationship? I walked in the world early enough in life. I came to know the Lord at age of 17. Up to that point, I was very familiar with the world. They trained me well. And I am convinced that when a life comes into a personal, up-close relationship with Jesus Christ, and they experience the love of God, they can't leave it forever. They may wander off. But if they've truly experienced the love of God, there's going to come a point in time they're coming back. But when they didn't, I cannot give that guarantee. I don't know what God will do. But God is so faithful. I prayed for my dad all my life. Really wasn't around him very much. 6 weeks before he died, He gave his life to the Lord, and he's up there waiting. Same with Barb's dad. I don't know what he's going to do with those people, so I don't want to leave a lack of hope in any way, shape, or form. But, man, we want to get the kids into that personal, up-close relationship early, creating a habit, a sowing, a reaping process that's spiritual. We want the spiritual side of the child to be trained and taught. All right, so in review, we need to think differently. This is God's word. It's alive. It's a message for the children as well as for us. We want the children to learn how to have a two-way conversation with God. We want them to learn how to respond to what God has said in the Bible in a personal, in a correct way. I'm going to read this little email I got. I think I have time because I want to do a little bit of practice. This was from a gal that had listened to this training on Calvary curriculum where I've got my stuff. Let's see. Because she's introducing herself, and she said, I've been a Christian since 1992, and I've even been on the mission field, and I've also been deeply involved with inductive Bible study method for the last 6 years, but something has been missing. I started out in my Christian walk knowing what was missing, and that was a personal relationship with Jesus, but somehow over the years, my pursuit of a relationship changed to my pursuit of knowledge, and it is how your class has really helped me. Even while listening to your sessions, I have tried to figure it out. I have on occasion heard from God in a way that I knew that he wanted me to, what he wanted me to know for myself, but especially in these last few years, after coming back from Honduras, I have felt like I was pursuing God, but I couldn't find him. I could not understand the responding part of what you're teaching because I was expecting God to speak to me personally. I thought I was initiating the conversation and still expected him to respond. It wasn't until I got to the session 2, when filling out the paperwork, how you can teach the children to meet with God, that I had an epiphany. All of a sudden, I realized he had already spoken to me. It was in his word that it was doing, that it was being spoken. I'm the one responding, not him. So I'm writing to ask you, is that right? When you talk about fellowshipping, about having a deep relationship with God, it's based on what he has already told us through his word, right? I know he will still speak to us through the Holy Spirit, but somehow there was a disconnect in my mind, even though I have loved his word and have studied it, I still felt so distant. I think it's because it's been a head issue and not a heart one. And she went on to share some things. How easy it is for it to be in our head. He wants it in our heart. And so when we respond personally and correctly to him with whatever we're reading through his word, whatever we're studying, we need to do that. I teach out at the Bible College, and those guys, man, all they do is learn, put things in their head over and over again. And, you know, when I teach this part of it, they're like going, yeah, yeah. It's like we're just cramming stuff in our head. And then when they come to realize it, you know, and I will challenge them, after 20 minutes of studying it, stop, pick a portion out, and respond back to God. And those kids came alive. They went, wow, man, it's made my college experience so different. It will make our life experience so different. He wants to talk with us, and he wants us to respond to him. One of the things, and my daughter's not here to do this, she teaches how to ask questions in class and how to teach through questions. On the back of your sheet, I believe, can somebody show me the back of the handout? Yeah, you've got some scriptures there. And then on this other side of that, there's some questions. Is there a promise to claim, a warning to heed, all those? Yeah. It's a great thing to teach the kids, not all at once, but one here, one there, you know, kind of a question to ask. Is there a promise to claim? So when they're reading a portion of scripture, that's in the back of their mind. Is there a promise to claim? So they can look through, and all of a sudden it's fun when the kids start really connecting. They go, hey, there's a promise! You know, they're like, they're interrupting the whole class. And it's like, you know, but they're starting to see it. Well, and I love that. That's a teaching moment. I stop whatever I'm sharing. Well, what do you mean there's a promise? What? You know, and we'd have the charts up. You can download the charts off of Calvary Curriculum. We'd have them up on the wall. And they go, it's a promise. Oh, well, right there. There's a promise to claim. Well, okay, well, what is it? And they go, Well, right here, Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Oh, man, I don't know what I was preparing, but that was enough. And so those are there to help, to raise their awareness level for when they are reading the word, to be able to respond back to the Lord. So in the last 7 minutes, we're going to do a little bit of an exercise. This is just a mental exercise, but you can do this in class. So take that last sheet that you have in your handouts, and it says Psalm 111, 1 to 4. You on that page there? Okay. What I want to do is, we don't have a lot of time to go over the questions, is there a promise to claim, and so forth, but I want you to kind of flip back and forth as we're reading this. And we're going to read Mark 10, 13 through 16. I'm going to read all the way through it. You can follow me. And then we're going to go back, and if you see any of those things, like if there's a promise to claim, or if there's a good example or a bad example or a new thought about God the Father or any of those things, then when we go back over it, then we'll see what we came up with. So then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in." And he took up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. All right. So, did anybody find, how about, is there a good example to follow? Anywhere in that portion that we read, can you find a good example to follow? What's that? Yeah, you could, but I would look at it as that's a bad example. But yeah, I could see it both ways how you want to look at it. So let's anything with a good example. Jesus what? Let the children come to me is a good example. Back there. Bring little children. That's a good example to follow. Okay. All right, so let me, well, you already brought up what I would say that a bad example. How about a new thought about God the Son? Anybody see a new thought about God the Son? Okay. Yes. Yes, Jesus took the little child up in his arm. What a wonderful example he was. Why? Any other good example? He wanted to bless them. So as the kids are taught these questions, and again, we have another poster that can be downloaded off Calvary curriculum, and it can be placed there with all the questions there, and over a period of weeks and months, they can be trained how to think these questions. Okay. Let's do another one. I'm going to read the first part of Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." All right, so let's look for some things in there. Good, bad examples, commands, warnings, anything. Where's the promise? Okay. So we got a promise. What happens after that? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's it. Anything else? Okay. So a command to obey. A command to obey. So if you don't take up your cross and follow him, yeah, you see, So you see that. How about a warning to heed? Is there a warning there? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a warning. So class, you know, what is it to warn? I mean, what, you know, and you talk about the words. So what's a warning mean? Beware, look out. Yeah, got it. And so you teach them what the words actually mean. They'll get it. They'll get it as fast as you're getting it. And so the goal is that habit, to create a habit that they learn that. They memorize those words so that you're now helping them to respond to God. What a wonderful thing. You're training them how to read God's word. How important that is. You have a wonderful privilege. You can take a little life and transform it through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, working in that life for the rest of that life. For years and years and years. We are to make disciples. What kind of disciples? Followers of Jesus. And how do you follow someone? Stay close. How do you stay close to someone? And how do you have a relationship with someone? By knowing them. How do you know someone? Spending time with them. How do you spend that time with them? In His Word, learning how to respond to Him. And in prayer, learning how to talk with Him. Two primary ways that we are spiritually minded. Talking to God, we call it prayer. God talking to us, we call it reading the Word. And teaching the skill of responding to God. Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for how You use them already. I pray that You would use them in a way that would continue to encourage the children to read Your Word and to talk with You. And that You would then meet them there, Lord, and talk with them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.